what we did. We arrived on Sunday, and we started our work on Monday, and we worked through Thursday, and then left on Friday. We woke up at 6:30 every morning for breakfast when we had the brief devotionals before we went to our work sites. We worked for 4 days at 3 different sites. We worked at Salvation Army, St. Anthony's, and the Neighborhood Mission. We worked at Salvation Army for 2 days. In the mornings, we did a program that they called Meals That Heal. So we walked around through their through the Tenderloin District, as it is called, which is one of the poorer districts in San Francisco. We walked through and we delivered meals to people who had signed up for it. These meals usually went to people who maybe could not provide for it themselves, and they served meals, I think, every weekday throughout the whole month to these people. So we walked around and we delivered those meals, and it was a really, really good experience. We could see a lot of the city and a lot of how people lived and just experience all of that. Then in the afternoons, we continued to work at Salvation Army, and we did, well, they were preparing for their back-to-school week, so we did a lot of backpack stuffing and sorting school supplies and things for students, which just made you think a lot about how people go to school and how we go to school. We went to St. Anthony's the second day, and we worked in their clothing department, so they get a lot of donations, like a lot of donations of clothing, and we sorted it for stains and rips and tears and things, and then sorted it by if it was men's, women's, or children, hung it up, and then prepared it to go out into the store where people come and they can, it's not purchased, but where they can come and get clothing for free, which was really cool. It was really cool to see. Then on the third day, we went to the Neighborhood Mission, which was a senior center, and they serve meals, and they do Zumba classes. And so that's one thing that we got to do, is we got to do Zumba with a bunch of ladies, and it was really fun. It was. Yeah. Then after our mission every day, after we went to our work site every day, we came back we went and we took showers off-site, and then we went back to where we were staying in Richmond, which is about 10 miles away, but it was about an hour average every day just driving because of traffic. We stayed, there were about 45 kids from about 5 different youth groups that were there, and 4 staff who served us all. In the evenings, we often did an activity after dinner, so we went on a short hike once up to a hill where you could see the whole bay, and it was very beautiful. We went to a beach one day to have like a picnic dinner, and then we went to the Golden Gate Bridge and got to walk a little ways across it, so it wasn't all work and no play. Then in the evenings, after our activity, we would come back, and Austin, one of the staff members, would lead us in what they called club, which was a short sermon on the topic of the week, which was the Upside Down Kingdom. I thought that the Upside Down Kingdom was very appropriate, you know, based on the kind of service that we were doing. And they talked, each day they had a theme. The first day was the establishment of the kingdom. They talked about small and unexpected acts that are used to establish the kingdom here on earth. Then the second day was citizenship in the Upside Down Kingdom. About how God chose the lowly to be in his kingdom, and how being a citizen of God's kingdom brings all people together. The third day was sacrifice for the Upside Down Kingdom, and it was just a contemplation on what God calls us to sacrifice to be in his kingdom. And then the last day was the king of the Upside Down Kingdom, because as Austin said, a kingdom without a king is just dumb. We discussed what it means to follow Jesus and what his example showed us. And then every evening, after a long, hard day, we went to bed, thankfully. So, all right, now we have some more questions prepared about what our experiences meant to us.
Before that, I would like to ask if Andrew or Taryn has anything to add to that.
But it was not actually fun for everyone.
Anything you'd like to add?
Getting lost on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge is also not a very fun thing to do.
Okay, I have some questions for you. Andrew, what was the daily schedule like?
So we would, as Stephanie said, she actually covered most of this already. We got up at like 6:30. Unless we had dinner or breakfast prep, which means that you had to like put food on our table pretty much. So if you had that, then you had to get up at 6 o'clock, which everyone had one day of the week except for one group. And then you ate breakfast, and then you like had a small devotion time, unless you were going to a site that was that you either had to start early at or was farther away from the church that we were staying at. Because if you had to start early or go a long ways, then you left and did the devotions in the car, or at least you were supposed to. Mm. And then we got to the work site and we worked for like 3 hours or something like that, or two. And then we had lunch, which was good. We had to pack our lunch in the morning. It was provided by the youth works people back at the church that we were staying at. So the sites that we were at didn't give us lunch. So we had to make breakfast and prepare lunch. So we ate lunch, and then we worked for another like 2 hours or 2.5 hours. And then we got to go shower, which was kind of strange to happen in the middle of the day, because that also meant that you had to take all your clothes and towels and washcloths and other stuff to the bathroom and like haul it around all day just to take a shower in the middle of the day, which was a wee bit inconvenient, but I'm glad we got to take showers. And then we had like an hour total for everyone to take showers. And then after that we went back to the church that we were staying at, which could take anywhere between like an hour and 2.5 hours, because San Francisco traffic can be really, 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 really terrible sometimes. Yeah, it did take us 2.5 hours one day. And then when you got back, you would eat dinner, unless you were stuck in traffic for 2.5 hours, in which case you would wait, and then you would eat what was left. And then they would, you would like go and change clothes and stuff, and there would be club. And we would do club, and that was cool because like Austin was a great guy. He was from Minnesota? He was from Minnesota. And that was his first time doing Youth Works trip. But he had some really great ideas, and he was really glad he was there. And we had a great group of Youth Works leaders this year. And then after club, we would have church group time, which is like where we would go with our church group, which for us was the Albany people, which was me, Stephanie, Taryn, and Kalisha, and the Lebanon people. And we would like discuss other reflection questions and such with as church groups for like 45 minutes. And then we got to go to bed, which was usually like 10:45, which is when the lights were out, not when you actually went to bed.
Thank you, Andrew. Taryn, what surprised you on this trip?
Well, there were quite a few surprising things on this trip that I found. One of the main things that stood out to me was that poverty is way different inside a really compact city as opposed to out in, was it Wyoming? As opposed to Wyoming. One example of this is that people are just on the streets with no home to stay in. The streets also reek of drug addictions and other massive problems. And people just really lack shelter or family or anyone to really go to or anything to do for that matter. As opposed to rural areas where a lot of people had houses or places to stay, but those places were terribly, terribly run down, and kids were running rampant on the streets. Let's see, another surprising thing. I was fairly surprised to not have as much hands-on work with a lot of the homeless. As Stephanie pointed out, a lot of our work was more behind the scenes as opposed to working on the streets to more hand out food or help people on their feet. A lot of what our work was is sorting clothes or handing out food to people who had called in for special servicing. And every day when we would go out into the streets, I always noticed that there was someone sleeping in one of the corners, a makeshift pillow, which was typically not even anything under their head. A lot of times no blankets and terribly, terribly rugged clothes. And if they were fortunate enough, maybe a slab of cardboard to lay on, as opposed to the hard concrete. And I was surprised.
Thank you, Taryn. Stephanie, what did you do that you haven't done before?
I did a great many things that I've never done before. One thing that I've never done is shared a single bathroom with that many girls. And I can't say that I'd like to do it again, I'll be honest. I've never worked in a clothing store where people come in and they who really need the clothing. You know, people come in and they want clothing, but I've never seen people who desperately need it and will ask that, and they will ask for as many things as they can possibly get, not because they want it or because they're greedy, but because they need it. I've never had to rely on other people so much to tell me what to do. I like to know what I should be doing, but that did not happen very often this week. I was constantly asking, okay, what can I do? What do I do? What do I do? And that was a little hard, but it was a good experience. And I've never worked in that kind of area. I've never worked in a place that had so much poverty in it. I mean, of course, we've all seen it, but I've never worked there and really walked the streets, literally walked the streets. So I guess those were a few of the things that I've never done before.
Thank you, Stephanie. Andrew, what are three things? What? Andrew? What was one thing that you wish was different?
Taryn kind of touched on this a little bit. We were mostly working behind the scenes, like organizing stuff in a warehouse instead of actually interacting with the people, and I kind of wish that we had had an opportunity to interact with the people more often rather than just walk by them on the way to the showers or something. I know that I realized that we probably wouldn't have done much more good by actually like interacting with the people, but we probably actually like helped more by organizing things in warehouses and stuff. But I kind of wish that there was like just a little bit more time to get to know some people instead of just like do things that you knew were good for them, but you didn't actually get to see how it affected them.
You're not done yet, Andrew. Didn't this change your perspective on life? If how?
Yeah, it definitely did. I may admit I went into that being a wee bit more judgmental than I probably should have been. I looked at people's situations and I was like, wow, how did you get yourself into that? And at the end of the week, I was like, this wasn't really anyone's fault. It just sort of happened by the culture that surrounds the area and like the way most Americans choose to live. It puts some people up on top, but it also allows things like that to happen, which is bad and should definitely change. So yeah, that has changed my perspective on life.
Taryn, how did God defy your expectations? Taryn didn't prepare any questions, so I get to choose the ones he's getting asked.
So I got to think of these on the spot. God defying my expectations. As I just said, he defied my expectations with the kind of work he put me through. Although it was definitely a different experience, because he defied my expectations when we were working in a sort of neighborhood shelter, handing out food in a little kind of corner. I didn't really expect to be having such little conversation with people, but it was also kind of interesting how much conversation I had. Never had I wished that I had taken Spanish instead of German. He really did defy my expectations, though, when there was this family that kind of came up. I was handing out food, and they started to say, no, no more, no more food. And it took me a second to realize it, but they don't want more food because it's too hard to carry back to wherever they're staying. So that kind of smacked me into a new perspective of, wow, a little too much help sometimes. But it also kind of made me open my eyes to how different struggles go on in different communities. And another thing was, I didn't expect to see such a bright change in the faces of the people that I was serving. Handing out onions to a couple families here and there, I didn't really expect to see such a bright face of gratitude on every single one. There were such bright smiles and occasionally a couple grimaces when an extra onion or two was thrown in, but typically it was a lot of smiles, and I did not expect that at all.
Thank you. Stephanie, who is one person you met that you won't forget?
There are many people that I will not forget from this week, but two that really stand out to me. One that I got to know fairly well his name was Bill. He was the leader from the other Seattle group that was in our crew that we worked with all week. He was the nicest guy. We called him Grandpa Bill because he was the oldest leader there on the mission trip in San Francisco. And he was just very, very nice. There was one boy named Nick in our group, and he got appendicitis on the third day and had to go to the hospital and had surgery, and it was awful. But through the whole thing, Bill was always there. He drove him to the hospital. He picked up his mom from the airport, drove to the other airport because they told him the wrong one, drove him to the hospital, and was back in the morning to take us to work the next day. And through the whole thing, he was just cheerful and positive, and he couldn't say a single negative thing about the whole week. And so I will remember him and his just sunny disposition. The second person that I will remember, I had very, very little interaction with at all. It was while we were at St. Anthony's, and I was working in the clothing store where people came in to get clothing that they needed. So this man, he came in, and he looked scary. He had like a do-rag, and he had grills on his teeth and the saggy pants. And so, you know, in my mind, I was imagining probably what this guy's like, you know. Which is a problem, but that's what I was doing. At the end, while he was leaving and he was like checking out and they were checking the things that he had gotten, he kind of like waves me over, and he has this beanie and a blazer, and he says, "Do these match?" And that's like the only words that I said to this man, but it kind of broke my heart a little bit that this scary looking dude that came in because he needed what they had, and he just wanted to know if this random teenage girl, you know, could tell him if his clothes matched, and I don't know. I just won't forget that.
Thank you. Taryn, what is something you want to do now that you are home?
Well, one thing I want to do now that I'm home is kind of embrace helping out those who don't really have all the opportunities that we do. It makes me feel a little kind of selfish to say this as well, but I really just want to go to the store and like grab a bunch of new clothes. Now that I'm home, it's definitely a different perspective, and so there's a couple things that have always been on my mind. For example, the helping out of those who don't have all the opportunities.
Thank you. Andrew, what did brokenness look like in San Francisco?
This has probably also already been said, but there were people everywhere, and not all of them had like places to go. They were just there, like laying on the street or walking aimlessly around or sitting by a wall or on a wall or just being there. Like one time when we were walking down the street from the parking garage to the Salvation Army that we were going to, there was a guy that was just laying on the sidewalk, and he was sleeping, and he looked very peaceful, and then on second glance he had like all sorts of drugs stuff all around him, and that was like, oh, okay, bad things happen here. And that made me sad because I'm not sure that he was a bad person. He just got caught up in doing the wrong things. He might have been a bad person, but he probably wasn't. Most people aren't. There was also like the need for people to have meals taken to them every day, every week. Not all of the people that we took food to, they weren't that old. That doesn't just happen in a normal culture or normal society. It happens in a broken one, where like the people who aren't old or who don't have any like nasty diseases, they need assistance like that to just keep on living. That happens in a broken culture, and I think that's probably one of the things that we've got going on here, and it's glaringly obvious in a big city like San Francisco, but it also happens in small towns like Albany or Lebanon or Corvallis or pretty much anywhere.
Who? Taryn. Did you see anything that surprised you?
You did? Well, I'm asking you a question.
Okay. Stephanie, in what ways did you need to rely on God during this trip?
I relied on God a lot. I had to trust God to comfort me in ways. That helped me not be afraid. Not necessarily afraid of the situations or that I was in, because I would never, though it was scary, I never felt threatened. But to help me to not be afraid to do things and to say things and to be his ambassador while we were there. I had to trust God to really work through me, because, you know, maybe you don't know when that's happening and you don't always know what you're supposed to do, but I had to rely on God a lot to do that and to work in me as well, because, I mean, everybody needs that, right, for God to work in them, and so I really relied on God to do that this week.
Andrew.
We have gone over our allotted time, but I would really ask you guys to ask us any questions about our experiences or about how we felt about this week. We would all love to answer any questions. All right, thank you.
Also, feel free to ask Kalisha about the Canadians.